The days of unleavened bread are drawing to a close. For us, as we use these days in the light of God's word, it has been a time of examination, and we learn lessons about ourselves. Now, what can we do as we conclude these days of unleavened bread to make real and effective spiritual progress? We want to be following God as the days and months and years go along. Spiritual progress is vital for us as God's called out people. Well, there is something that we can determine to do now and continue to work on so that we can serve God, grow in the fruits of the Spirit in the days and the months ahead. There is something that we can do. And I'm talking about the examination of our hearts. The examination of our hearts. The heart is critical when it comes to serving, worshiping, following, and obeying God. Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17 to begin the sermon this morning. Well, actually, I see it's 12 o'clock, so I should say this afternoon. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. And actually, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. There's a title to this section of Scripture, and the title is The Nature of Man's Heart. And unfortunately, at this particular time when Jeremiah was giving this inspired message, Judah's sin was very, very deep. And God says their sin was engraved in their hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. We read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Notice the heart is deceitful above all things. And this phrase, desperately wicked. Desperately wicked, if you've got a marginal reference like my Bible does, the marginal reference reads, incurably sick. Incurably sick. And when we talk about sick, sin can be a disease, like a disease of the heart. And this, the heart is the seat of our life and our emotions. The last part of verse number 9 says, who can know it? Who can know the heart? Well, God can. He can look inside and see our hearts. Verse number 10, continuing on. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God is very concerned about the state of our hearts. Again, it's the seat of our life and emotions. And God is aware, and he searches the hearts and minds of individuals. And he will deliver just recompense for their way of life. Like it says here, his ways are the fruit of his doings. The last part of verse number 10 actually reads, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, what kind of fruit is our way of life? What is our fruit that we live by? Our fruit that we bear should be spiritual fruit. And the heart is critical to bearing that fruit. Our hearts are critical to fulfill our calling. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Again, the heart is critical to bear spiritual fruit. And we're going to read a verse here, Proverbs 14 and verse number 30, which talks about a sound heart. A sound heart. Proverbs chapter 14. And reading verse number 30. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body. Not only physical life, but spiritual life as well. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy, and we could say a heart full of envy, is rottenness to the bones. So a sound heart is life to the body. And the heart is where the emotions, our emotions develop, one in which emotions are both physically and spiritually shown from. Now, we understand that physically, that if our heart is strong, it maintains the health and vigor of our whole body. But a sound heart is important spiritually as well. We need a sound spiritual heart. We need a sound spiritual heart to bring about spiritual growth, spiritual progress, which we have been called to do. Expositor's commentary says that this verse literally says, "The life of the flesh is a heart of healing." Now that's interesting, a heart of healing. And the word sound from the Hebrew signifies healing health or spiritual health, certainly applying the heart in spiritual terms. Now the Apostle Paul admonishes us in 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm not going to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves," which we apply and have applied during this Holy Day season and during these days of unleavened bread. But now, as we close these days of unleavened bread, let's determine to make an all-out effort to examine the very seat of our life and emotions. Let's examine our hearts to make spiritual progress this coming year and every day of our lives. The title of today's sermon is "Examine Your Heart to Make Spiritual Progress." Examine your heart to make spiritual progress. Today, on this last day of unleavened bread, we will see the need for us to examine our hearts to make spiritual progress each and every day of our lives. Spiritual progress is so very, very important. That's what God wants us to be doing. He wants us to go forward spiritually and to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And as we approach the next phase of God's plan, the Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost pictures spiritual growth with help from the Holy Spirit. So it is vital to examine the state of our hearts so that we can truly go forward and not backward, spiritually speaking. We want to develop a sound spiritual heart with God's help and using His Word, God's Word, the Scriptures. Let's back up to verse number 14 of chapter 14. Verse 14, "The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above." He'll have a better reward, in other words, the good man. Notice this phrase, "the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways." A backslider in heart is one who has turned away from God, turned his back on God, and he's filled with his own ways, living his own way of life and not God's way of life. But he has his reward. That's the point that's being made here. Now, in the Jeremiah Bible study series, we've been talking about backsliding and backslider because Jeremiah uses that term often in his word and his preaching. And in Jeremiah, backsliding means an idolater, one that's involved in apostasy. But this is a different Hebrew word here, this backslider. This means to turn back, and especially away from God. And that's not what we want to be doing at all. We want to be going forward with God and not turning back away from Him. We don't want to be backsliders in heart, to go back to old ways, after committing to go forward spiritually, especially during these days. This proverb's particular point is that a person is rewarded according to their deeds. One who turns away from God, the backslider in heart, receives his reward. And that reward is echoed in verse number 12. Notice verse number 12, the reward of the backslider. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." That's the reward of the backslider who turns away from God And we certainly don't want to be going down that particular road. Our human nature can be deceptive and lead us down the wrong road, the wrong path. But we must determine now to follow God, seek Him, and have the right kind of obedient heart. We have that opportunity now, and we can focus on that as we leave these days of unleavened bread and go back to our regular lives. God wants His people to follow Him, seek Him, and have the right obedient heart. That's what He wants from His people. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is interesting in that regard. It explains God's law to the second generation of Israelites, those who were ready to inherit and go into the promised land. Deuteronomy has to do with going forward into the promised land after having escaped the slavery of Egypt. And that's what God wanted them to do, to continue on and go in to the promised land. And there are lessons in the book of Deuteronomy that can help us to go forward spiritually and to work on ourselves throughout the year. You know, Israel, we read a scripture was read during the sermonette in Acts chapter 7, that they turned back in their hearts to Egypt. And so often you can read about their story when they'd come across a trial or a problem or whatever it would be. Oh, it would have been better to go back to Egypt. Better to go back to the taskmaster's whips in the land of slavery that they lived under. But they didn't have faith and trust in God. And unfortunately, that generation that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness. And it was up to the new generation, those that were 20 years of age and younger, to go into the promised land. And God wanted them to go forward, not to go backwards. These young people, the children of those who had left Egypt, were poised to enter the promised land. And Moses pleaded with them to be faithful to God's laws. He, in fact, gave them a series of three sermons, what we read in the book of Deuteronomy. He reviewed the mistakes of their fathers and gave them admonition to avoid making those same mistakes. Several times, Moses used the word today in his messages. In fact, 58 times we see that word today in Moses' sermons. And that was to emphasize to this new generation going into the land that they could start new. They could start new and leave the past behind. And that's what God wanted them to do. And that's what He wants us to do. And that's one of the great lessons of Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. Start new and leave the past behind. Go forward, spiritually speaking. Now, the admonition to be faithful to God can be summed up by a scripture written for those young people. And that same admonition serves us as we go forward from these days of unleavened bread. So let's go to the book of Deuteronomy now. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. Again, the admonition that God wants His people to be faithful to Him and go forward. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you recall, is the section where Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the new generation. He'd already given the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai to the ones that came out of Egypt, out of slavery, and we find that in Exodus 20. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he reviews the Ten Commandments with the new generation. And that's what we find here in chapter 5. But let's pick it up here in verse number 22 of Deuteronomy 5. And Moses is reflecting back on that time at Mount Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given to their fathers and their mothers. Verse 22 of Deuteronomy 5. These words, and that these words are the Ten Commandments that were just given previously. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain, Mount Sinai, from the midst of the fire, the cloud and the thick darkness, with a loud voice. And He added no more. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Surely the Lord God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man. He spoke with Moses, of course, yet he still lives. Verse 25, and here's what the people were saying. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? So the people at Sinai did not want to go near God because of the fire in his voice. They were afraid they were going to die. So they tell Moses to go near to God for them. Verse 27, you go near, speaking to Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and notice, and we will hear and do it. That's what the people at Mount Sinai hearing God's word said. We will hear and we will do it. They expressed a willingness to comply with the commandments of God. However, it came out of their mouths. Were these just words they were saying? Was it just lip service? And God recognized this. And notice verse 29. He says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That they would have a heart in them. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. Remember we read in Jeremiah that God is the one that searches the heart. They said, the people said, they would obey. But would it come from their hearts? Would it come from their hearts? God is very concerned about the state of our hearts as it relates to obeying him. You know, this word heart, it's such a wonderful term. But we actually find that over 850 times in the Old Testament. 850 times in the Old Testament, the word heart. And over 100 times in the New Testament. That means, putting those two numbers together, the word heart is found almost 1,000 times in the scriptures, in the Bible. Very, very important term. And God is concerned about the state of our hearts as it relates to obeying him. It says here in verse number 29, that they would fear me and always keep my commandments. In other words, that they would want to respect and obey him from the heart. God wants all of his people to have the right kind of fear and respect towards him from the heart. And just as God desired to see the right kind of hearts from the Israelites to go forward into the promised land after being released from their slavery in Egypt, he wants us, each and every one of us, to have the right heart as we go forward pressing towards the kingdom of God. So what can we do now? Let's ask this very important question. What can we do now as we go forward from these days of unleavened bread to have the right kind of heart that what God wants to see in us? Well, there are some things that we can do. And the key to this is the examination of our hearts. We must continue the examination process and examine our hearts. So I've got three keys now as we go forward in this sermon. Three keys to examine your heart to make spiritual progress. The first key in examining your heart to make spiritual progress is examine yourself to see if you have an obedient heart. Let me repeat that. Examine yourself to see if you have an obedient heart. Okay, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's slide down to chapter 6 now. Moses continues the sermon that he gave on that same day. The Ten Commandments that he gave in chapter 5 was part of a sermon, and now it continues on in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse number 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Verse 2. that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. And God wanted the children to be taught, grandchildren to be taught, all generations, God's way of life and his law. And unfortunately, they didn't do that. You get past the generation of Joshua, and they become backsliders in heart, and they back away from God. And children aren't taught. And the results was captivity. Continuing on, verse 3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You'd be blessed for keeping the commandments, in other words. Verse number 4, and here's the crux. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, the Ten Commandments, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. They were to be devoted to him with all your soul and with all your strength. Brings us to the question, what are we devoted to? There can be objects of our devotion that distract us from our worship of God, diverting our love from him, and therefore causing a lack of obedience. But here we see the admonition, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And these words, the Ten Commandments, shall be, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. Here we see in verses 5 and 6 that love, God's law, and the heart are linked together. They're linked together. And obedience is the demonstration of love towards God. Let's go forward a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Again, love, God's law, and the heart are linked. Deuteronomy 11, verse number 1. Continuing what we've been reading here. Verse number 1 of chapter 11. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God. Keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always, God says. Not just from time to time or when you feel like it, but each and every day of your lives. Let's drop down to verse number 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, we could use synonyms here, with earnestly, diligently, etc. It shall be if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 14, you'll be blessed. Then I will give you rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Physical blessings for obedience. Verse 16, here's a warning to the new generation. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. And we have a deceiver. We have a deceiver that wants to bring us down. He wants us to backslide and back away from God. And the warning is, don't let your heart be deceived. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And that did happen to Israel and Judah. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. So he's warning them that if you don't obey, you're not going to receive those blessings. Then notice verse 18 and 19. Therefore, you shall lay up these words, the commandments, of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Commandments in the heart, love, obedience in the heart, love towards God in the heart, and God's law linked together. Verse 19, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And that admonition, unfortunately, as history went along with the children of Israel, they didn't follow through with that. They didn't teach their children. And thus, what happened in the northern tribes of Israel and eventually Judah, which you're talking about in Jeremiah, they go into captivity because the children were not taught God's laws and God's way of life and how important it is to God. A great part of going forward into the promised land was obedience. And for us to go forward towards the kingdom of God, our hearts must be focused on obedience as well. Love and obedience and the heart are linked. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 22. Again, talking about this key to examine our hearts if we are obedient. Matthew chapter 22, and you'll recognize this section of scripture where Christ summarizes the Ten Commandments. He summarizes the first four commandments and the last six commandments. And here again, God's law, love, and the heart are linked together. Matthew chapter 22, and let's pick it up in verse 35. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And here Jesus summarizes the commandments here. Verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." And that summarizes the first four commandments. And he says, "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself," which summarizes the last six commandments. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And Christ emphasizes the heart being involved in obedience. As he quotes here in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind," quoting what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. The heart is involved in obedience towards God. And as we go forward now from these days of unleavened bread, let's continue to examine our hearts to see if we have obedient ones. The second key in examining our hearts to make spiritual progress, and this is a question, is my heart a pure one? Is my heart a pure one? The second key to examine our hearts to make spiritual progress. Matthew chapter 5, just go back a few pages. Is my heart a pure one? This is the section of what we call the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And here we find that Christ was up on a mountain and his disciples came to him. And he's teaching the disciples. He's teaching the disciples and there's no one else around. And what he teaches them here is a series of what we call the Beatitudes. And each one begins with this word, blessed. Blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourned. And let's drop down to verse number 8 as it relates to this second key. Christ says in verse 8 of Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart will see God. Boy, that's a wonderful admonition for each and every one of us to want to have a clean, pure heart, to be able to see God and to be a part of his family in the kingdom. What a wonderful admonition. Now this word pure here means like being cleansed, like clothes that have been washed clean. But it also has the meaning of unmixed or unalloyed, like getting the chaff out of the wheat so it's clean. So a pure heart is a clean one. A pure heart is a clean one. And it has to do with our motives. The motives from our heart. What are our motives? What are my motives? And God's word helps us clean up our heart to have a pure, clean one. William Barclay in his commentary says, this verse could be translated, "Blessed are those whose motives are always unmixed." Whose motives are always unmixed, for they shall see God. So this particular beatitude is one that demands us to examine the motives of our hearts. What is the motive of my heart? Are our motives self-love or that of loving our brother? Are we making a show of religion or actually practicing what we do? It's something to be examined. Do I have a pure heart? Let's go to Luke chapter 6. This is Luke 6 is Luke's parallel account of the Beatitudes, which we read in Matthew, or are in Matthew chapter 5. And again, Luke brings out the necessity of us to examine the motives of our heart. Speaking to disciples, very important what comes out of our heart and what's in our heart. Is it a pure heart and a clean one? Luke chapter 6 and verse 43. Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, and he's speaking to disciples now. Again, just like we read in Matthew chapter 5, he's speaking to disciples. He's speaking to us as disciples. Verse 43 of Luke 6, for a good tree is symbolic of a disciple, a good tree does not bear bad fruit. We don't want to be bearing bad fruit as disciples, do we? Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44, for every tree, every disciple, is known by its own fruit. What kind of fruit are we bearing and producing? For men do not gather figs from thorns, or do they gather grapes from a bramble bush? And verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. A pure, clean heart. One who has examined his motives and cleaning it up with God's word, using God's word to have the clean, pure heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. And then he sums it up here in the last part of verse 45, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Known by its fruit, a disciple. In other words, known by our actions, what we do. We show by our lives what fruit is in our hearts. And verse 45 points out that the words of our lips are the products of our hearts. And we need to examine what comes out of our mouths because it reflects what's in the heart. And again, examine the motives of the heart. Do I have a clean, pure heart? Help me, God, to clean up my heart. Show me by your word and by means of your Holy Spirit that I can have that clean heart and go forward in spiritual progress. Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. There's a title to this section, and the title is The Character of Those Who May Dwell with the Lord. The kind of character of those who can go into God's presence, in other words. And a pure heart is mentioned in this section. Deals with the proper approach in worshiping, God. Psalm 15, verse number 1. Psalm of David, he asks questions here. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, where God's presence was in ancient Israel, and who may dwell in your holy hill? God's presence, in other words. Here's the answer. Who can be in God's presence? Verse number 2. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, talking about our actions in our lives, and speaks the truth, where? In his heart. The heart's so very, very important as we approach God in his presence. And we're in God's presence today. We're in a holy convocation here on the last day of unleavened bread. We're in God's presence. We're worshiping him. And we want to have truth in our heart. Who may abide in God's presence? And the answer, one who walks uprightly, righteously, who is sincerely trying to walk with God. And it comes from the heart. It's a motive of the heart, a pure, clean heart. Verse number 3, he who does not bite with his tongue, you know what comes out of your mouth, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. A heart that is right, a pure heart, is one that is committed to real change of life through repentance, to be and walk like Christ, to be on the road to conversion. Psalm chapter 24, just a few pages forward, as we examine this second key, is what are the motives of my heart? Do I have a pure heart? Psalm chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. This is another series of questions talking about those who approach God, his presence. Psalm 24, verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? You know, the mountain of the Lord, where his presence is. Or who may stand in his holy place? The answer, verse 4, he who has clean hands, you know, what he does, his actions, and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, what comes out of the mouth, in other words. So a pure heart, a clean heart, is critical to be in God's presence. For us to go forward towards the kingdom, we need clean hands, what we do, and a pure heart. One with the right motives of love and service to others. In God's word, and we have it here before us today, God's word can help us clean up and have a pure heart. And again, with the help of God's Holy Spirit. A third key in examining our heart to make spiritual progress, do I seek God with all my heart? Do I seek God with all my heart? The third key in examining our heart to make spiritual progress. Back to the book of Deuteronomy, this book, these sermons that Moses gave to the new generation to go forward into the promised land, which is a lesson for us as we go forward towards the kingdom. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 27 through 29. Now, this section that we're reading is actually a prophecy. It's a prophecy of a repentant Israel in the latter days. They're going to be scattered because of disobedience, but when Christ returns, he's going to gather the scattered descendants of Israel together. So this is speaking of a future repentance way beyond Moses' day. It's in the future. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 27. Here's a warning from God to the descendants of Israel. Deuteronomy 4 verse 27. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples because of disobedience, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. So this is, we know that ancient Israel never repented. They were scattered. But this is speaking of a future repentance beyond Moses' day. Notice this. But from there, the scattered state that they will be in, from there you will seek the Lord your God. And you will find him if what? If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's the answer for all of us who want to make spiritual progress. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. The phrase all your heart and all your soul used together suggests mind and will and heart together. And the key to a change of attitude regarding a repentant Israel, and the Israel of God, the church as well, is if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. That's talking about a complete commitment to God, a spiritual commitment, a willing heart and mind. And God is a God of long suffering. He's merciful and always ready to forgive when someone makes mistakes, who comes humbly before him with a right, repentant heart. And that's going to happen with the descendants of Israel when they come to their senses in the future and they're delivered. They will have that repentant heart. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Again, this third key to examining our heart to make spiritual progress. Do I seek God with all my heart? Deuteronomy chapter 11, talking about going forward. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 12 and 13 this time. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Let's see, I don't think I'm in the right place where I want to be. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 12. I think I read this before, but let's read it again. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul. Then he goes on to talk about the blessings that the people will receive as they move forward to possess the land. God wants us to move forward, and he wants us to seek him with all our heart and all our soul. Let's go now to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And this is speaking of a future regathering of Judah. You know, we're going to talk about in the Jeremiah Bible study series that because Judah would not repent, they go into Babylonian captivity. They go into captivity. But after 70 years goes by, God's going to have them released from that captivity. And this particular section is talking about that. And there's a spiritual principle that we can use today. Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to read verses 10 through 14. And again, this has to do with the future regathering of Judah. Jeremiah chapter 29, and verses beginning in verse number 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, their captivity in Babylon, the nation of Judah, I will visit you and perform my good will toward you and cause you to return to this place, to come back to their homeland, to Judah and Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what God wants to give to his people, a future and a hope. And that's what he gives to us as well. And has called us to the future and the hope to be part of his family in the kingdom. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse number 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all your heart, God says. And that's an important principle that we should always apply to make spiritual progress. And that's what God wants us to do as we go forward from these days of unleavened bread, to make that spiritual progress. And seeking him with all our heart and all our soul is so very, very important. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read verse number 6. We went through this in the Bible study series on Isaiah, and it's so, so very important for us to consider, especially as we go forward towards the kingdom. Verse number 6 of Isaiah 55, God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That means while we have the opportunity, and we have opportunity today to be seeking God. And if we seek him with a right heart, he will be found. Call upon him while he is near. And we have that opportunity today, and we must be seeking after God with all our heart and all our soul. And we have time now to examine our heart to see if we are doing that. Let's finish the sermon now. And first of all, we're going to look at a prophecy of the future and a changed Israel and the repentant heart that they will have. And then we're going to finish with an admonition to all of us as we close these days of unleavened bread. First of all, let's go to this prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 36. And there's an admonition for all of us within this prophecy. Ezekiel 36. And we're going to read verses 22 through 28. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is looking forward to the future when the descendants of Israel are gathered together. And they're going to have changed hearts in the future. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. It's a sad commentary on Israel throughout the years, throughout their history, is profaning God's name wherever they went. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. So what God is talking about here is, even though Israelites have profaned God's name among the nations, there's going to be a change in the future. And the nations are going to take note. They're going to see that change that's happening with these people. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, water which symbolizes God's Holy Spirit. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And of course, that idol worship continues on today amongst the descendants of Israel. But they're going to be cleansed and cleansed in the future. Verse number 26, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a clean heart and a pure heart. And God's Spirit is going to be involved, a new heart and a new spirit. I will put, verse 27, my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep the judgments and do them. And verse 28, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. During this particular time, this prophecy that we're reading, God will take Israel through a spiritual cleansing process. He says, I will cleanse you. And again, water represents God's Spirit. And he will put, God says, a new heart and a new spirit. And what's that going to result for these people? Spiritual progress. They'll be obeying God. They'll be following God. And they'll be called by God, my people. And he will be their God. A clean heart. And that's what God wants from us as well today as we go forward from these days of unleavened bread. Spiritual progress is what we want to be doing this coming year and throughout our lives. And it's important now to determine to set our hearts to following God. Final scripture, let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. This is an admonition from James, and it relates to our days ahead, the days that are ahead of us. As we approach the end times and approach the time of eventual Christ's return, and we look forward to that, and we pray that God's kingdom will come. James chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. Again, an admonition for our days ahead, you and I. James 5, verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient means to stand firm, spiritually speaking. And that's an admonition for all of us as we approach the end time. Stand firm, spiritually speaking. Be patient. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Just like a farmer has to be patient for the rain for his crops to grow, you be patient. Stand firm, spiritually speaking. Verse 8, you also be patient, James writes. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And as we go forward towards the kingdom and we pray for that kingdom to come, and as we go into the times that are prophesied to happen, we have to be spiritually patient, standing firm, determined to continue down this road and this path, enduring to the end. And we can examine our hearts now to make spiritual progress, establishing our hearts, waiting for the coming of the Lord. In conclusion, a pure heart is a clean heart. And our hearts can be cleaned up by the washing of them by God's word, the scriptures. We can start now to dedicate ourselves to go forward using his word to clean us up and have that pure heart. A heart that is set right, a pure heart, is one that is committed to real change of life through repentance, to be like Christ on the road to conversion. So let's examine our hearts. Let's set ourselves to clean them up with God's help. Clean up the impure motives using God's word to obey, love, and seek God this coming year. That is what God would like to see us do as we close these days of unleavened bread and go forward in real spiritual progress.